This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special guest, a recurring guest. It's her third time coming on the show. We had her back in 2023. We had her around this time last year in 2024. And now we've got her back. She's getting ready to drop her debut record, Flight Risk. We have got Miss KSC, Carly Scott Collins. Sis, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to be back.
It's exciting to have you back. You look great. How's the road been? The Keith Urban tour? Seems like you've just been going, going, going.
Yeah, it's been, honestly, this year has been my favorite year of my life without question. It's just been so much fun. We've gotten to accomplish like so many of my like goals and dreams, and being on this tour has been like truly insane. It's been amazing.
Yeah. Take us back to getting asked and finding out that you're going on that tour.
Okay. So my like relationship with Keith and his music kind of goes back to like being a child. He was like the first artist I ever remember listening to, in country music. 'Cause my aunt loved him. So she used to play him all the time in the car. So I mean, I've loved him as long as I can remember. And then when I was in the studio with my co-producer, Nathan, working on my EP from last year, it's called Right One, we were cutting the title track and Nathan was like, we need like a really sick guitar solo for this. I'm going to send it to Keith Urban. And I just kind of laughed at him because I was like, yeah, there's no way you're doing that. And he was like, no, I just sent it to Keith. And I was like, oh my God, because like there was two outcomes, obviously, and one of them could have been Keith Urban hearing it and hating it, which I still would have had to release a song that Keith Urban hated, which would have sucked. But he was like, no, this is badass. I want to play on it. Unfortunately, I was in like the Netherlands when he was in the studio, so I didn't get to go, but they FaceTimed me from the studio and I got to watch him play, which was awesome. And then I was in the studio after that, and my manager called me and he was like, you need to look really cute today. You need to be free at this time and you need to have your ringer on, but I'm not telling you why. And I was like, okay, this is weird, you know, getting all excited. And it was Keith, but at that time he was calling me to tell me I got to make my Opry debut.
Wow.
Which was really cool, like coming from him and everything. And then, you know, it was probably a month later, my agent texted me in the morning and he was like, hey, can you hop on the phone? And so I answered the phone and I was like, hey, what's going on? And he was like, I'm just making people's dreams come true. And I was like, okay, like, what's up? And he was like, do you want to go on tour with Keith Urban? And I physically jumped up and down for the first time that I remember since I was a child.
Wow.
So yeah, I was so excited. Called everyone I've ever been in contact with, I think, in like the first 10 minutes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it's so well-deserved. And you've been in town now for a while.
Yeah.
And you've signed your deal young and mm-hmm. you figured out what your sound was going to be. And I think you've got it nailed down now.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for the world to hear Flight Risk. What's it been like now, one, getting the album out there, and two, having a collection of songs that is your first full-length album?
Man, I moved here when I was almost 20. I was still 19, so I was very young. And I think, you know, I always had like a clear picture and image of like what I wanted, but it does still take like some time and like actually working at it to really get that honed in. And it takes like a few missed swings, you know, here and there. And I think like I needed the time to go through all of that and grow as a person. I mean, my personal life has changed so much. And I think that like speaks into the music also. But I really, in the last 2 years, but especially the last year, have just felt like everything feels like it's kind of clicked into place as far as like the people I collaborate with and like my vision for everything. And it just felt like the right time to do a record because I had such a clear vision in general. And you know, we waited a long time to put out my first album. It's been here over 5 years. And so it felt like the right time. And I had like the story that I wanted to tell. I had the songs I wanted to tell it with. And so I am really proud of the record. It took a lot of hard work and a lot of years, but I'm excited for everyone to hear it. Yeah, we worked hard on it.
Yeah, and it's pulling up there's of course some songs on there that have been out, and some, when I think of KSC, when I think of you, I think of classics like American Boy and Heavy Metal, and Girlfriend's become a new favorite for me. Just because people that don't know you, you're you love rock and roll.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You love being able to crank it up and have the boys in the band turn it up. But looking over this track list, I mean, you got a lot of songs on here, girl.
Yeah, 16.
16. So are you cool if we like talk about the record? And
I mean, I would love to.
Because we've talked about paleontology on here over the years. We've talked about your grandma. We've talked about all kinds of stuff in our anthology of having you on this podcast.
Yep.
But I guess looking over track one, tell me about Denim. Where does that one come from?
Oh, God. Yeah, Denim is about my most recent ex-boyfriend, which for some reason I feel like maybe you met at some point. We won't talk about him specifically, but we hate him.
Okay.
And so Denim was kind of like, it was like the first song that I wrote after the breakup. And I was just mad in general when I wrote that song. I was mad at him for being a weirdo and a liar, and I was mad at myself for like falling for all of the foolishness. And so Denim is like a play on like wolf in sheep's clothing, I guess, but it's the devil in denim.
Ooh. Yeah.
And I told my mom, I was like, someone's gonna need to check on him when that song comes out, because it's like very specifically he'll know. There's no question.
I always tell my buddies, don't date a girl that plays guitar.
That's so true. You really shouldn't.
You will get either positive or negative, but most likely some negative songs about you.
Yeah, or it could also just be like really cringe too. Yeah. Like someone's like, I wrote a song for you, and then you have to just sit, you know, like there's not a good outcome.
Yeah. Now one that's been out, Easy to Leave. That's one that I've been jamming to.
Yeah, thank you. Easy to Leave, I wrote like probably 20 minutes after a breakup with a different guy. I don't keep him around for long, apparently.
Is there a reason you stuck the breakup songs kind of in the front of the record?
There's a few kind of at the top, and then there's like a couple still sprinkled in at the end. But yes, I wanted the record to kind of tell a story in a way of like kind of the process of going through like being heartbroken and going through stuff to like putting it everything back together. So I put a few of them at the beginning. But yeah, Easy to Leave was just I was dating a guy who kind of never knew what you were going to get. And it was just very confusing. And it was like, you never knew what was going to set him off or make him be weird. And we broke up as I was walking into my right, like over the phone. And I was just like, at that point, I just was like so over it. I was just like, I don't even care anymore. Like, I don't care if I ever speak to you again. And I did. The lyrics say, I called my mom and told her you're crazy. And that's, I literally got off the phone with him, called my mom, and I was like, Mom, he's crazy as hell. And and then we went in there and wrote a song about it. So, yeah.
Bad timing on his part, but great magical timing for the music.
That's right.
That's awesome. Quit You.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah. Well, Quit You is actually one that really has meant a lot more to me than I even realized it would, especially because of the relationship with my fans with that song. Quit You is about someone that I was really close to that struggled with addiction when I was a kid. And obviously, I think there's a lot more people than you even realize that their lives are touched by that. And Nathan and I actually wrote that song the first day we ever met. It was the first song we wrote together.
Wow.
And and that song, I held on to it for so long. We wrote that song in, it probably would have been either 2019 or 2020, because it meant so much to me. I just was like, I don't want to put it out at the wrong time. It needs to be like the right time for it. And since I put out that song, like that is the song when I do meet and greets and things like that, that people come up to me and they're like, this song means so much to me. My brother, or my dad, or my mom like has struggled with addiction, and this song like healed a little piece of me. And so like, that's like, I mean, obviously one of the most special things about doing this in general is like you write something that means something to you and you don't even realize like how many other people it'll mean something to. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That is something as somebody who, I know I've got the surf side in front of me, my blank can, but we always have our friends from surfer, but like even me, like next year will be 10 years off the booze.
That's
you know,
amazing.
So it's
congrats.
Thank you. Addiction affects so many people.
Yeah.
And it's important to have that out there. Now the song that Jake, your guitar boy Jake has said is one of his favorites to play live, Cowboy Shit.
Oh yeah.
And that to me was like when I heard that for the first time, I was like, KSE's entering like a new era. Like,
oh yeah.
It is awesome.
Thank you. You know what? That song, I wasn't even going to cut it because I was like a little nervous about saying the S word in a song, you know?
Yeah.
But basically how that song came about was I was riding with my two best friends, actually, Sam and KK. And we had already written a song, and I was about to leave, and I was going to go ride horses. And I was like, wait, are we? Can I cuss on here or no? Leave it out.
You're with me. You can say whatever you want, KSC.
Right. Well, you just said it. Yes. Of course I can say it. Sorry. Anyways, I was about to go ride horses, and I was like, y'all, I'm on some cowboy shit right now. And they were like, oh, my God, we have to ride that.
That's the title.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I can't. We can't ride that. I can't, you know. And they were like, no, we have to. So we wrote it. And it was like, it was just fun, you know, but like I didn't send it to anyone on my team because I was like, it was so fun that I was like, if I send it to them, they're going to like it and then I'm going to have to record it. So I just hid it away in a vault, but my team talks behind my back, obviously. And so they found it through like other people sending it to their publishers. And my manager called me and he was like, you have to cut this song. And I kind of went back and forth on it for a little while. And then we agreed that Nathan and I would record it and we would see how I felt after we recorded it. And Nathan and I had so much fun recording it. And I just realized how much fun I had singing it that I was like, you know what? I just have to do it. And it's all of our favorite song to play live because people yell it. You're like, they have so much fun with it.
Yeah. And the music video is great too. You had my boy Bo in there.
Oh yeah. Yep. Bo. He was fun. We had a really good time. It was really hard actually to find. You would think it'd be really easy in Nashville, but it's really hard to find a hot cowboy. And they kept sending me pictures of guys for the music video. And I was like, no, this is not, hot cowboy is not that complicated. And so I remembered when I met Bo on the road with Corey that he used to like ride bulls and stuff. So,
oh yeah,
so
he is Texas.
Yeah, so yeah. I was like, I had my manager, because my manager manages Corey too. I was like, can you please just call Bo and see if he'll do it? So he got on a plane from Texas and came and shot the video with me. And we had so much fun. It was great. Yeah,
that's awesome. Now, I haven't heard it, but like, it seems like a little bit of like a vibe switch, Music to Cry To.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about that one.
Music to Cry To was actually supposed to be the record title. That
really?
Was, yeah, I wrote that song because I had decided that's what I wanted to call the record. So I had it as a record title, but I was like, well, if we're going to call the record that, we need to write a song for it. So me and Alex and Joy Beth,
Joy Beth is like my little sister.
Yeah,
I've loved that girl for years. Like
no,
watching her grow up too as a songwriter. And
she's insane talented. She's such a badass. But yeah, we wrote that song on a retreat. And it's kind of just, I mean, Music to Cry To, it's more about like kind of the when someone leaves after a breakup, kind of the things that you don't hear anymore, that you kind of miss hearing from when they were there. It's like hearing their tires pull out of the driveway or not hearing the sound of the coffee maker, you know, all that stuff. So it's all, you know, Music to Cry To. But when I finished with the record and the track listing, I realized that not all the songs in the record were Music to Cry To. So it didn't really fit as a title anymore. So I had to just put it on the record.
Yeah, crying to cowboy shit would be something.
Yeah, it would. Well, hopefully there's some boys out there that'll cry to cowboy shit.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Real quick too, I saw you were hanging out with like Meg Patrick and some of the girls. What's it been like kind of having that girl gang of homies? I know you've had like Sam and KK and like your homies that you write with, but having other artists that you spend good times with and stuff in Nashville.
You know what? That's been like one of my favorite parts about this year. I think Nashville is like such a welcoming place and it's really easy to make friends here, but it also can be kind of hard to like get integrated into the community and really feel like you're a part of it. And I think like, you know, it takes years of like putting the time in and showing up and then showing up the next year. And I feel like this year has been one where I've like really built some solid friendships with people that I really respect and admire and I think are so talented. And it's like, it's so cool now to have like such a big family of people here that's like, you know, you can call up and it's nice to have a good community.
Yeah, everybody's supporting one another, like having your hype men.
Yeah, and it's like genuine too, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you can smell through fakeness.
You definitely can.
Very, very much. Yeah. So, Left Me Alone.
Yeah, that's a fun one. I wrote that one right after I was kind of, you know, the feeling where you've like just gone through a breakup and there's like a couple weeks where you're just like sad all the time. And there's always the one day where you just wake up and you're like, I don't care. It's fine. I'm good.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, all of a sudden you're like, it's fine. I don't care anymore. It's good. And that's kind of what we wrote that one about, where it just was, it's a lonely finally left me alone is what the hook is. And it's just kind of about that really good feeling, freeing feeling of just kind of not caring about somebody anymore. Yeah,
and that's powerful. That's yeah. something that so many guys and girls are going to relate to.
Yeah. That know? One's a lot of fun too. We have fun playing that one.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then two titles that I love, Shoot Out All the Lights and Bad Bad.
Okay, yeah. Well, Bad Bad is kind of a sexy song, I guess. It's I Want You So Bad, Bad Boy. Okay. It's about, you know, I was seeing a guy, and it's about the very human emotion, I guess, of just really wanting somebody. Yeah. And I wrote that one with Dan Pellerin and Emily Falvey and Emma Klein, I think. And we had so much fun writing it. We open all our shows with it. It's not out yet, but that's the song we start playing nice. In the set. And it's rock and roll. It's fun. It's kind of badass. That's a fun one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one?
Shoot Out All the Lights.
Yeah, Shoot Out All the Lights. It's the only song on the record that I wrote by myself. And I was pretty young when I wrote that one, actually. It was probably 2021, I guess. And it was just, I was kind of in a place where, again, I was really upset with someone, and I was being very dramatic, as I'm prone to do. And I just was thinking, I would literally rather there be no stars in the sky than see your face again. Like, I just want it to be dark, if that means I don't have to look at you. Yeah. And that's what that one's about. So
nice. It's when you talk about a song like Bad Bad, one of my favorite moments that we've gotten to have with you yeah. was our butt rock night.
Oh yeah.
When you and Jake joined the house band uh-huh. and played Audio Slave.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and we love some Audio Slave.
Yeah. Like just seeing you rock out. So I'm so happy there's songs, and like you've had like Marlboro Reds, and like you've yeah. had songs where the band can rock out and stuff. But yeah. now it seems like that's becoming more of a thing within your sound and
yeah.
your catalog.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed, I mean, that was like always, it's what I grew up listening to. It's like rock music. And I grew up covering it, you know, whenever I was younger and even now. And I've noticed that like a lot of people like it when girls play rock and roll, you know. Yeah. And I like it too. I guess I just hadn't, you know, there's like a time where you're like, well, that's not country enough. And now I'm more in a phase of like, well, this is who I am. This is what I was raised on. So we threw some more rock in there for the record. There's definitely some rock and roll.
Has being on the road more shown you that you want to have more up-tempo? Like when you cut a song now where you're like,
yeah.
I want it to be something that me and the guys can play live.
Yes. And well, especially when you're opening, I think like, you know, when we play like headline sets, it's good to have a mixture because, you know, we'll play like the rock stuff and then you want to have like the intimate moments. But when you're opening, it's like we have 5-6 songs on the Keith tour and you want to like be able to just, you know, slap people in the face as many times as you can.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, having like upbeat or like rocking songs is like super important when you have a short set. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I've learned that for sure.
Tell me about two that have been out. Like I said, one of my new favorites. You have Runner and you have Girlfriend.
Yeah. I'll start with Girlfriend, because Girlfriend is like probably one of my crazier moments as a female and songwriter. My boyfriend at the time was trying to tell me a story, but it involved the fact that he had went on a date with another girl at some point in his life, which I just thought was really rude, you know, that he would have ever gone on a date with anyone that wasn't me. And I was like, just super chill about it. You know, I was like, yeah. Oh, it's like so funny. That's nice. And I went to my right the next day and I was like, you guys, you won't believe what he was telling me last night. And I don't know anything about her. I don't know her name. I don't know what she does. I don't know what she looks like, but we created an entire story about her and how cool she is and how awesome she is. And we wrote a song about it because I'm insane.
And the song turned out great, by the way.
Yeah, like, we had so much fun with it. I feel like that comes out in a song. When you have fun writing it, it's like it's part of it. So
yeah.
We had a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah, and then Runner.
Yeah, and I, by the way, I played bass on that record, and I play bass on it live, too.
Wow.
On Girlfriend.
That is badass.
It's fun, yeah. Runner. Well, Runner is, it's probably, like, one of the most personal songs I've ever put out, and probably the most vulnerable I've been in music that I've put out. It was about my first real heartbreak, And it was like a heartbreak that kind of just changed me completely as a person. It made me not trust anyone. It kind of changed the way I looked at being in relationships and love and giving a part of yourself to someone. And I didn't write about it for a long time. I just kind of shoved it under the rug and I was like, that's too painful. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. But my friend Sam, we became really close as friends. And so I opened up to her a lot about things that I had gone through, and I was talking about that, and she had been through something really similar. And as a writer, it's like, it's really nice sometimes when you're talking about something that's hard to talk about, yeah, to have someone that relates to you and has been there. And so having her in the room to write it just made it feel like, you know, half the burden of it is like lifted, yeah, off of you. And so we wrote that song together, and it's so interesting, like how cathartic writing can be sometimes and how healing, because I feel like we got it out there. We wrote it, put it on the page, and now I feel like I kind of like closed the chapter on it a little bit. So yeah, that's another one that a lot of people have related to. It's special.
That's great. Has there been a favorite show so far that you've gotten to do with Keith? I know we have Bridgestone, yes, coming up here soon.
That's probably going to end up being my favorite, because, I mean, how many shows have we been to at Bridgestone? And then, like, yeah, getting to stand on the stage will be insane. But my favorite one so far is probably the Intuit Dome in L.A. My parents were there, and I mean, I used to live in L.A., so I had, like, some childhood friends there. But, like, that was our first like enclosed arena show, because we've done like a lot of amphitheaters, yeah, and stuff. And it just was like, the energy was insane. Like, it was so much fun. Yeah, I loved that one.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. It's so cool getting to travel all around the country and now, yeah, to be, have the Canadian dates coming up.
Like, yeah.
And have you been to Canada before?
We played in Toronto, but we actually already did that earlier on the tour. So we're doing everywhere in Canada except for Toronto on this one. We'll be there for like 3 weeks straight. Basically, we'll see the entire country.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's going to be fun.
That'll be so cool. Yeah. I used to love them.
Yeah. Well, there's kind of like a funny story with that one. It's not a funny song, but I wrote that song while I was in a relationship. I used to love him. And after we wrote it, I was kind of like, that seems like maybe a negative. That seems like a bad sign that I'm writing this, yeah, while I'm in a relationship. But I was with my boyfriend later that night, and he was like, well, like, what'd you write today? And I was like, so I played it for him, and I'm like playing him the song, and I was like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I went in the bathroom, like shut the door, listened till the song was over, and then walked back out, because I was like, I can't be here while you're listening to this. And he was like, that's really sad.
Yeah.
We broke up like a week later. Wow. So yeah.
Sometimes it pops up in songs, like as a songwriter.
Yeah.
It happens for a reason.
Yeah. And you're just like, I didn't even realize I was feeling that way, but like, yes, I was.
Who'd you write that one with?
That's with Alex Klein and Scott Stepikoff, who they're both insane. Yeah. Yeah, very talented.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then two that have been out for a while. It's funny. I remember talking about Heavy Metal with you.
Yeah.
This time, around, yeah, this time last year. Heavy Metal and American Boy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Heavy Metal, obviously we touched on it a little bit last time, but I had a friend that had gotten married really young to the wrong person, and a lot of people where I'm from are raised that like divorce is kind of the worst thing you can do. And so she was very unhappy. I watched her be really unhappy, and she just, you know, she couldn't get a divorce because of how she was raised and all of that stuff. And it's kind of the thing where like, you can't really tell her, well, I think you should get a divorce anyways, yeah, but you can write a song about it. And so that's what I did. And that one is I've known people that have said they've gotten a divorce because of it, which I don't know how I feel about that, but like,
well, it gives them, know, the power to do what they need to do to, yeah, get out of,
like,
that situation.
They're like, okay, you know what? Yes, it's all right. But people come up to me at meet and greets and be like, I heard your song and I got a divorce. I'm like, yay.
Divorce party in Nashville, yeah, with Carly Scott Collins. Yay. Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully I'll have like a wedding song at some point too, like just balance it out, you know, one, yeah, divorce song, one wedding song. Yeah. But yeah, so that's one of my favorites also. And yeah, then, okay, wait, the
American
other one,
Boy.
American Boy. American Boy is the only love song on the record, I think. And it's not even real, honestly. I don't think I've ever written a true love song about a man. That one was about, it was with Joy Beth and Alex, actually, on the same retreat that we wrote Music to Cry To on. We were pumping out the bangers on that one. But I was kind of talking about, like, my ideal man, I guess. Like, I love the tattoos and the motorcycle and the James Dean kind of bad boy vibe thing. Yeah. And so we wrote the song about that guy, you know, the all-American boy.
The American boy.
Yeah.
Have people started bringing signs yet to the show saying they're the American boy or no?
No, but I've gotten some DMs for sure.
Oh, I'm sure that's a slide in thing.
Yeah, or like if we're in a different country, they're like, well, how about like a British boy, you know?
Yeah, that's another thing too that you've gotten to do a bunch since last time you were on here, getting to go over to Europe.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing you at a whiskey jam down on Broadway. And you were saying, hey, I'm going on this tour, going all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's been so much fun. And the fans overseas are like, it's such a different vibe too. Cause I think, you know, we don't get over there as often. We play in America all the time, but we're only over there every once in a while. So they get so excited. And it's like still really insane to me to look out in a crowd in like Germany and people are singing the words to my songs. It's really, really weird. It's very cool.
Could you ever live in Europe? Do you like it that much when you're over there? Do you find a place where you're like, I could stay here for a while?
I think I would love to have like a flat in London. London is like one of my favorite cities I've ever been to. It was like, it's a really cool place.
What is it about? See, I've never been out of the country, which people, when I say that, people are always like, no way. Like,
you have to go.
And I'm from New York, so I can fly
anywhere.
Yeah,
you need to go
anywhere.
Italy or something.
Yeah, I feel like Italy or Sicily or Greece or one of those places.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, it's so hard to explain like what it's like. You have to go there, but it's like the vibe is just, I mean, London is like kind of, oh God, I probably, someone's going to get mad at me for saying this, but it reminds me of New York, but like older, and there's so much history. And then there's like also like a really big, there's like a lot of punk history there, which, you know, I love.
Like
so
the Ramones, the Sex Pistols.
The Sex Pistols.
Ramones are from here, but Sex Pistols and bands, like the Clash and bands like that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So there's like, you know, there's a lot of really sick vintage stores, great bookstores, like just there's so much like culture and history. It's just, and great food. So, yeah, I love it there.
I love a place with great food.
Yeah, me too.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Honestly, that's enough.
That's enough. Daddy's Habits.
Yeah. That's about, well, okay, this is kind of a funny story, actually. So the day before I was born, my mom realized my initials were originally supposed to be KFC. And she didn't realize that until the day before I was born. It was going to be Carly Faith Collins. So she was like, I can't name my daughter after a chicken place. Like, so
that'd be the most Florida thing of all time.
How awful would it be on everything? KFC, like, you know? So she changed my middle name to my dad's name, like the day that I was born. So that's where Scott comes from. It's his first name. And my entire life, ever since then, she's like, I never should have named you after your dad. You act just like him. So he and I are literally like the female and male versions of each other. And that's what Daddy's Habits is about.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then to close it out, only child and madman.
God, you picked like the saddest ones to end it on.
That's what you picked. I'm going down the track list.
Oh my God, is this in order?
This is in order.
Okay. I should know that.
So you're bringing us to, it leaves you with something to think
you
about.
You picked the saddest ones to end it on. Only child is, actually, I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but my mom, we might have, my mom was, had just been diagnosed with cancer when we started writing that song.
Yeah. I remember when she was going through that.
Yeah. It's all good now. So
thank God.
Yeah.
That's
She's good. Every scan she's had recently has came back clear. Awesome. So that's great. But, I loved being an only child when I was growing up because, you know, you had all your parents' time, all their attention. I didn't have to share anything with anyone. I was a very spoiled child. And I never wanted siblings. I used to tell my mom if she had another kid, I was going to sell it on eBay. Like, I just was like, this is great. I don't want. And then I kind of realized, you know, when she got sick and my dad's getting older and all of that stuff, that like you get to a point where you really wish you had someone to share it with, you know, and like you're the only person alive that understands what it's like to have your parents be sick. You know, there's lots of people in the world who go through stuff, but it's like my parents and my relationship with them, I'm the only one in the world who gets it. And my friend Alex Klein, who I wrote a lot of the songs on the record with, was, going through the same thing at the same time. She's an only child. And we were just talking about that and how lonely that can be sometimes. And that's what we wrote it about. So, yeah.
And then closing it out with what sounds like one of the saddest songs, Madman.
Yeah, Madman. Madman was the first song I wrote for the record. I wrote that over Zoom back home during COVID. So, like, 2020.
I love that these songs span, their lifespan goes back to 5 to 6 years ago up until within the last year.
Yeah. Yeah. We wrote some songs like a week before we went into the studio that made it onto the record, like Denim and some of the other ones. But yeah, there are some deep cuts.
I love that.
It.
It's a full project of you.
Yeah. No, it literally is like the entire span of like my growth from 5 years ago to now, which is kind of like, it's what I wanted it to be. But yeah, Madman is just about, it was kind of like my first experience with like being like really in love with someone and then realizing it was the wrong person. And the way, like, before you learn, it takes age, I guess, but before you learn not to let someone change you and don't, you know, change for someone else. And I think I had just kind of completely lost sight of myself in that relationship. And I had gotten to a point where I was like, these decisions I'm making are not me. Like I don't recognize myself. Yeah. And all I'm just like trying to make this person happy. And so it's like, you made a madman out of me. Just kind of about losing yourself in a relationship and deciding to not do that anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something, again, a lot of people go through. Like, I've had exes where I'm like, I'll come to it and I'll be like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why am I out at Tin Roof on a Saturday night with people I don't even drink? And I'm out all the time. We do our events and stuff. But it's like, why am I doing this?
It's like doing things that you would never do if it wasn't for, like,
the right person's going to allow you to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure. Yeah.
So have we dug up any dinosaur bones lately? I know we love our paleontology.
You know what? Actually, kind of. I mean, I didn't dig them up, but when we were on tour in Denver, they have, it's like the world's or the country's largest dinosaur track site
or
something.
You had to be freaking out.
You know, I was there. We went up there and looked at the dinosaur footprints. It was actually pretty cool. So
that's awesome.
We've gotten to do a lot of really, really cool stuff on the road. It's like, especially now that we're in a bus for this tour, we actually have time to see stuff during the day of the show instead of, you know, in the van tour days, you're driving until sound check, basically.
Yeah. What's it been like having, like, the buses? That's the goal when you start touring is one day you tell the guys, hey, stick with me here.
Yeah.
I know these overnight drives suck. We finish up a show. We got to get 8 hours up the road with the way this is routed. We got to follow the buses that we're opening for in the van.
It's and so rough sometimes.
It is. It is. And I did that for a long time being on tour, you know, where it's like, it's a lot, but what's it been like to have the guys and be on the bus and it to grow from, you've had predominantly the same dudes with you, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've had the same band that I have now since my first tour. So like the first tour we went on with Larry Fleet in 2023, we had played like shows on and off, but that was our first like full tour. It was this band. And so we've been together, you know, the entire time. And honestly, we, as a band, I've gotten to do all of our firsts together, which is really cool. We all played the Ryman for the first time, played the Opry for the first time, our first major tour, our first tour bus, everything. We've all done it together. And they are literally my family. I really think of them as my family, and it's been so special to have all of those things happen for all of us together.
Yeah. Cause I remember at that Whiskey Jam, I filled in and hosted for Ward that night. I remember you and your mom saying, hey, if you know any guitar players, we're looking. And then I think I went to Red Door. It might have even been that night or a couple nights later. And I saw a little guy with long hair wearing a hat that said, Creed saved my life. And I'm like, one, you seem awesome. And then got to hang out a little bit more. And I mentioned the game. Jake, I'm telling him
that you just called him a little guy.
He is a little guy. He's a little guy that fucking rips on guitar.
No, he's so talented. Yeah, he's amazing. And he is literally, I mean, he's one of my best friends in the world.
One of the best guys that you could have on the road.
He is.
He's talented.
Mm-hmm.
He's hungry to be the best and put on the best show.
Yeah.
And he's just the nicest human ever.
And he humbles me every day.
Yeah.
Every single day. he's the best. I think I really think I'm so lucky to have the guys that I have. You know, I mean, like, a lot of times you get most of the attention as the artist, just because that's how it is. But they make up every show we play. You know, the boys have like so much personality on stage. They make me sound good. They take care of me. Bobby is like band dad. I would forget all my stuff at every venue if he wasn't there. I just, you know, they're a huge part of everything. So I feel very lucky.
That's awesome. Looking back over the last, because we've known each other now for coming up on, or for over 2 years now, and it's we've gotten to do these podcasts, and thanks again for coming on here and hanging out. It's always a pleasure getting to see you and everything, but what's something that you would tell, say, that girl in 2023, that the KSC that I met, that young, hungry, hadn't really had a ton of music out yet, hadn't gone out on the road, like, what's something you would tell that girl that's back in, like, the summer or fall of 2023?
God, there's so many things. I mean, I think like the main one that I would say to anybody, it's like when I first moved to town and I first started taking label meetings, I had a few people tell me I wasn't down the middle enough. And there are like a lot of people in the town where it's like, if you're too different or you're too left of center, then you know, it's not going to work because you're not like everybody else. But the thing that's so interesting about everyone who ends up making a difference is that they aren't like everyone else. And then all the people that end up, you know, copying that style are now down the middle, you know? And so I think like sometimes things like that can get in your head and you're like, well, should I be more like this or should I be more like that? And I think if I could go back and talk to her, I would probably just say like, you know, keep what makes you different, because that's like, that's the only thing that's going to set you apart eventually and make anybody notice you, is if you keep being who you are and stay true to yourself. And the other thing is like, man, hard work pays off. I think like there's years that you go into writing rooms and you're building to where you're going to be and seems like nothing's happening and you're just going to work every day and you're writing multiple times a day and it's, you're not getting cuts and you're not getting holds and you're not getting your song on the highway or whatever. And then all of a sudden all of the years of hard work kind of start to pay off and you're like, okay, this makes sense, you know? Yeah. So
no, that's awesome. You talked about how the title was going to be a different title, but where did the idea for Flight Risk come from?
I ended up not liking any of the song titles as a record title. And so I was like, well, what do I do now? Like, cause it seems like everyone just kind of names it after a song title. So I was like, okay, I printed out the lyrics to every song on the record and I went through all of the lyrics line by line and I highlighted different phrases in the lyrics that I thought could be cool record titles.
Yeah.
And when I got to Madman, which is the last song on the record, the first line in the song is, I wasn't a flight risk until you opened all the windows. I kind of liked it. And I underlined flight risk and I was like, wait, this is so weird, because I had told my friends that I was a flight risk for like the last however many years I've been dating, because I will be leaving, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is perfect. Like, this is something that like I really relate to. And it also happens to be a lyric in a song. And so that's kind of where it came from.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. And I love that it's a lyric from the last song.
Yeah.
On the record too.
Yeah.
Like, that's really freaking cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. So we've still got some Keith dates coming up. What do we have for the rest of this year? Obviously record coming out here in a few weeks. But what are some of the goals like that we're now fast forwarding into next year? It's crazy that we're almost done.
I know.
I don't want 2025 then. It's been such a good freaking year.
I know, neither do I. I'm like literally probably a week into tour, I was already depressed about an ending. Like this tour has been so insane. And Keith as an entertainer, my God, have you ever seen him live?
Oh, yeah.
Like it never gets old. The guys and I watch it every night and it's always amazing. So I'm not looking forward to this tour being over just because it's so much fun. But I also feel like I'm learning so much every night. But this tour won't end until almost the end of October. And then we'll go play in Australia for the first time.
Wow.
So I'm very excited about that. I'm going to go cage diving with Great Whites. I think maybe we talked about me wanting to do that at some point.
Yeah.
So I'm doing it now. So I'll be there.
Let's go.
I'm going to do that.
I can't wait for that video.
I know. I know. I'm like talking a big game about like it's gonna be so fun, but I'm probably gonna be in there freaked out.
You strike me as somebody that grew up going on roller coasters and loving all the thrills. So it's like the ultimate, one of the ultimate things. It's like skydiving and cage diving with great white sharks.
So we're excited about that. And then I have a few more dates on a tour that hasn't been announced yet in November.
Okay,
so so we're on the road basically through the end of the year, except for December.
How many dates do you think it was this year? Just off the top of your head, like trying to think back. Because I know I remember years where I was doing 100 dates on the road.
I was going to say it probably has to be close to 100. Yeah.
Isn't that nuts looking back to where you were a couple of years ago that you got to play like around if a little bit more, a little bit less than 100 shows?
Yeah. And you know what's crazier is that I wish I was playing more.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, like you would think after all of that, that I would be like, God, I'm so ready to take a break or whatever. But like, being on the road as much as we have has made me realize even more that this is like, I mean, this is a dream. Like I'm so happy doing it. I just want to be on the road every single night, except I would miss my dog a lot. So
yeah. How's the dog doing?
She's so good. Yeah. I've got a little Frenchie. Her name is Opie and she's an angel. Love of my life.
Is that named after the character from Sons of Anarchy?
You know what? It was, so I named her Opal because it's like one of my favorite like gemstones. And
I was going to ask what's an opal. That's a total guy moment.
I
didn't know what an opal was. I've never heard of that. Brad Paisley. I'm still a guy. There's things I don't know.
Look it up later. It's so pretty. But so I named her that because she's white and it looked kind of... Anyways. But then I was obsessed with Sons of Anarchy. So I started calling her Opie and it was kind of because of that. He was like one of the best characters, obviously.
That's awesome. Has Opie gotten to go on the road at all?
She's come to some shows, but I haven't taken her on the bus yet. So I wanna do that. The problem is she's like one of those, she's a Frenchie, so she has that little smashed nose, so she can't get on a plane because she'll like die because she can't breathe.
Oh, yeah.
So she'd have to be driven up here. She lives with my parents in Florida most of the time. So my mom would have to drive her up here just for me to throw her on a bus and leave. So it hasn't worked out yet.
What's been like your family's reaction to just how crazy this year's been for you in the best possible way?
Oh, they're so excited. My mom and dad are the first people I call about anything. Whether it's like something I'm concerned about or something I'm excited about, they're my biggest, biggest supporters and the people I trust the most to give me advice on anything. And they've been a huge part of my career. And so I really feel like any successes that I have I owe them to them. You know, it's like their successes too. And they get so excited they act like it's their own success that they've had. When I called them and told them about the Keith tour, my dad cried.
Wow.
And so it is really special. I love getting to have them at shows. My mom's so funny though. I knew where she was sitting obviously at the show in LA because I asked them where she was going to be sitting ahead of time. And that line in the song where I say, I called my mother, I like pointed at her seat and she came down after and she was like, that was so weird. You pointed right at me and you didn't even know where I was. And I was like, yeah. Magic.
Yeah. And how's Granny doing?
Oh, she's awesome. She's fantastic. She's still giving us two-step lessons when she gets tore up. And I still haven't learned. Yeah, she's the best. I got to have dinner with her last time I went home. I don't get to see anyone as much anymore that we're busy. That's like the one negative.
I was going to ask when the last time was you were able to get home.
I just got home for like almost the first time this year, maybe the second time this year, last week. I got to go home for like 4 days and it was so nice. I got to see, I went rattlesnake hunting.
Wow.
I had a really redneck time. It was nice.
That's good. Yeah. You can take the girl out of Florida, but you can't take the Florida out of the girl.
You can't. Nope.
You cannot. Now, what are the big goals for next year? I mean, do you want to, it sounds like more shows is something you want to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Get me on the road as much as possible.
That's what I keep telling my team. I'm like, I don't care. I just want to be on the road all the time. Definitely be on the road as often as I can next year. Maybe doing a headline tour would be really cool. That's kind of, I mean, obviously that's on my goal list for sure. I'd love to have a single at radio. That's everybody's number one goal. But I think those would be a pretty good start. Yeah.
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 That'd be awesome. And then what are we doing with our spare time, the little bit of spare time that we have? Because I think last time we talked about books?
Oh, yeah.
You're a big reader.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. When I used to have spare time, when I wasn't as busy, I loved to, like, travel to wherever and like go exploring. But now in my free time, I'm like, I travel all the time. Yeah. I'm not leaving my house. So I do a lot of laying by the pool and reading.
Nice.
Working on the tan, reading books. And then I've actually been scrapbooking a lot, which is like, it's the coolest thing I've ever done, actually. It sounds so dorky, but like, I have like all of these crazy moments and memories that it's going to be so much fun to look back on. Like the first page is me with Joan Jett at the Ryman. Like, it's just so crazy when I look back at it, I'm like, I was there, but this is crazy. It's hard to believe, you know? So I've been doing that, and it's like making me even more grateful and amazed at like how lucky I've been. It's really cool.
You could almost scrapbook each year.
Like, yes, 2025. That's what I'm going to try to do.
It's almost like each month of 2025 could be its own book. Like,
yeah, no,
with how
for real.
Busy this year's been for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's all been, I'm very lucky, very blessed to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. What's it been like being on the road with other openers, like other up and comers, like Chase and Alana?
Yeah.
And you guys all going through this Keith Tour thing together.
Oh my God. Chase and I have become like really good friends. Me and his entire band, actually, and my band.
They're good. They're great dudes.
They are so much fun. Yeah. Man, we've had Nerf gun wars in the parking lot.
That does not surprise me. That is very Chase Matthew.
Yeah. No, it was, I arranged it. I was the general.
Wow.
I arranged that war.
Okay.
But that's like, that's so fun. We all, you know, we'll go like ride bikes and stuff before the shows. Like every time there's some free time to do something fun, we all do stuff together. And it's like that with like Keith's whole team too. It's just, it's been really fun. And Chase is like, Chase is really talented. He's a great entertainer. I learn a lot from him too. It's been really cool to become really good friends. Yeah.
On stage, he can just take a crowd in the palm of his hand, no matter where he is.
Yeah. They love him. Yeah. Yeah.
He's wild.
Yeah. He does a great job.
He's a wild man.
And that friggin' Darlin' song is stuck in my head all the time.
My buddy Alex Maxwell wrote that with him.
Yeah.
So
we
always joke with Alex for like, I go up to him and his girlfriend and I just go, I just go, hey, how you doing, darling? You know, just like give him a hard time.
Well, it's like, I can tell why it's doing so well on the radio because I hear it one time and the rest of the day I'm like, why does he call you darling all day? It's like, it drives me crazy.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
he's
great.
The best.
We able to get home for the holidays this year, you think?
I think so. I don't know about Thanksgiving. I think I'll be on the road like around there.
Yeah.
Which would be really sad because every Thanksgiving we, you know, cook all together as a family.
What's the Florida Thanksgiving like?
It's just me and my mom, my aunt and my Nana cooking the meal together and Nana drinking Patron while she cooks and then trying to teach me how to two-step around the kitchen. That is Thanksgiving in my family.
Does Nana get up here at all?
She's been here one time for the Opry debut. She came
say,
for that.
You should get her up here and take her to like Nashville Palace or something.
That's we went there after the Opry
you
debut.
Did? Okay.
Yeah, and she was tore up.
I bet she was moving around.
Actually,
like.
I'm not a big drinker, but that was a wild night for me. And my mom, why am I saying this on a podcast? This is so crazy.
This is what happens when you come on a podcast with me. You just open up.
So it was my Opry debut, you know, so it's like a big night. And my team kept giving me drinks. And eventually you lose track at a certain point when you're not buying them.
Yeah.
And I threw up out of the car window on the way home. My mom was driving and she has a video of me. I threw up and then I said, we just played the Opry, Mama. And that was the last time I drank gin and tonic. And no, you can't see the video.
No, I wasn't gonna ask. So I'll get it out of you one of these days. But I'll get it out of your mom one of these days. But that's
I don't even know how I caught on that. But yeah.
No, it's time. You've had a lot to celebrate this year. Over the last like 2 years, it's been awesome. Like just getting to know you and watching you grow as an artist, grow as a person. I'm over here growing our thing with the Raised Rowdy stuff.
Yeah, y'all are killing it too.
Yeah, we're all over the damn place. That's funny. Like, usually September is when we slow down.
Yeah.
But it's like, I was just in Texas. I leave for Pittsburgh tomorrow. Then Nick's going on a music cruise.
That's
we're
awesome.
We're doing a country cruise next year. So Nick's going to get like content. But it's
that'll be so fun.
It's called the Super Legends Cruise. It's like mostly Latino. So it's like Los Lonely Boys, La, what is it? The I forget whoever sings La Bamba. Like it's
like Ricky somebody.
Might be Ricky something or Los Lobos or one of those. So Nick is going on. Nick is going on like a Latino old school.
That sounds like a party. Honestly,
I'm like Nicky T. Nick's single. I'm like Nick. You got to find you a nice Latino woman. Dance with her on the cruise. He's gonna have a ball.
He better take some dance lessons before he gets on there.
He's got like a week, so I don't know how I'm gonna squeeze it in. But that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Dance lessons every night.
And then we're in Jersey, and then we're in Texas, and then we're in Maryland. It's like,
yeah.
But it's cool to see your thing growing, like, and so many
like
other
doing
people.
Doing it
but
together, growing at the same
honestly,
time.
We really are. Yeah. It's freaking awesome. And it's like, I'm hoping next year. Have you done a lot of festivals and stuff?
We've done a little bit here and there, but we haven't done a ton. I think my agent was saying maybe some more festivals and stuff in 2026, which I think would be really fun.
It'd be awesome if our paths cross at a festival.
It would
be so fun.
Because
what they have us do now, they have me host the festivals.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So it'd be awesome.
Well, you're a fantastic host.
If I got to introduce you on a festival stage, like,
oh, that would be so fun.
That would be so, like, bucket list.
Yeah. We did Tortuga this year.
How was that? That had to be cool for you being a Florida girl.
It was so cool. That festival is amazing. And I got to sing with Keith for the first time during his sex. He was the headliner that night. And it was actually very stressful because I texted him a picture of like the big billboard and I just was like, can't wait to see your set tonight. You're going to crush it. And he texted me back like 2 hours before he went on stage. And he was like, come up and sing this song with me. And I hadn't even heard the song yet because it was like brand new. It's his song with Lainey Wilson, yeah. Go Home With You. So I am like wandering around the festival with my AirPods in, listening to that song for 90 minutes straight on repeat, just like making sure I know everything yeah. because I'm walking out to a crowd of 40,000 people in the next 2 hours and singing it. But it was so much fun. It's like one of those kind of unforgettable moments. It's just like you wake up in the morning and you don't know that you're going to be singing with Keith Urban that night. Just yeah. insane.
And then fast forward, you tour a whole year with him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so crazy. This is real life, but it is.
Yeah. Nick and I always joke that we're living in the Matrix.
No, literally. That's like, we are all so lucky that this is like, this is our job.
Yeah.
Like we're at work right now. Just talking.
Literally. It's freaking awesome. So what do you hope people get out of Flight Risk? Like what's the goal? Like what do you want people to feel as they're listening to it?
I've actually spent a lot of time thinking about this question, and I feel like I just came to the realization today, which is kind of convenient since you're asking me it now. Flight Risk for me was actually kind of an evolution of what that phrase means.
Yeah.
And like the beginning of Flight Risk is in songs like Runner and Madman and things like that, where it was like, I'm not going to let someone get too close because I'm afraid of getting hurt, or I'm afraid of being in love with someone because what if it doesn't work out? So I'm leaving the situation before it gets too serious. And then through the process of writing those songs and kind of closing old chapters and healing old wounds, I kind of realized going forward that Flight Risk was more of like an independent thing for me now. And it's like coming from a place of confidence where like, I'm not afraid to open up to someone, but I'm not doing it until it's the right person. And if I know it's not the right person, then I know what I want, I know what I need, and I'll leave the situation. But it's coming more from like a place of, yeah, independence. And so I think when people listen to the record, I want them to feel that too. And if they're in a place where they're, you know, going through a breakup or they're feeling not independent or not confident and they're kind of, you know, running from things, I want them to have that same kind of realization that I had working on the record and get to that point, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I cannot wait for people to hear this whole thing. I can't wait to see what it does. People are going to love it. And it's what a way to cap off just an incredible year for you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited too, and a little nervous, and just all of the above.
We'll do it again next year.
Yeah, all
we'll
right,
have you,
deal.
We'll have
yeah,
you back
deal.
For, back for year four, but seriously, y'all be sure to go check out Flight Risk. It's going to be coming out on September the 26th, and we cannot wait. If you haven't pre-saved it yet, get those pre-saves out there. Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you get your music. Check out our girl Carly Scott Collins with Flight Risk, and there's a bunch of songs that are out right now that are freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Go and jam them and go check out Carly at a show too. Get your tickets. If it's not a sold out Keith Urban show yet, which a lot of them do sell out, go out there and get your tickets. Go see our girl KSC. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you
out.
So
it's
much.
It's always
for
a pleasure.
Me.
And shout out to our friends from Surfside. We're going to send KSC home with an 8-pack of either the lemonade, the iced tea, or the green tea. I might have to send you home with an extra one.
This will be perfect for the reading by the pool.
Yes, that is. They are perfect for that. No bubbles, no troubles. It's not a seltzer. It's a Surfside. They're great. And for more on us, visit RaiseRowdy.com. For my girl Carly, I'm Matt Brill. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave. So if you know